John chapter 15. We're going to read some familiar scriptures tonight. We're going to consider some things regarding the world. Now, I'm not going to... There are a couple different words that are translated world. I'm not real concerned with that. Whichever cosmos is one. Satan is the prince of the cosmos. Another one is aeon, that is often translated a world. It's the word for age. And Satan's the god of this age. So, pretty much got it covered. But I think you'll see the point of where we're going tonight. And this is something that, you know, really needs to be understood regarding the world and how we live in this world. Because it is an evil age. And, well, let's read. How about that? John chapter 15 is where we're going to start. This is during the time where, that is shortly before he was going to hand himself over, Jesus Christ was going to hand himself over to be crucified. And we're going to start in verse 18. I forget how many times the word world is used in this section, but it's a large amount. Verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world what? The world hates you. The thinking of the world, the arrangement of the world is anathema to the things of God. The world hates Jesus Christ. And the world will disparage the believer, not because of your color, not because of anything but your new nature, because you belong to Christ. See? You belong to Christ. And the world offers nothing in the way of light for the believer. Now, in a little bit, we're going to see, I think, a little clearer what I mean by the world. Does that mean all the people in it are our enemies? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. See? Okay. So if you were of the world would love its own. I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also, what? They will persecute you. And if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their what? For their sin. There is no cloak. You know, the world will suppress or deny its sin nature. And that is the basis for denying the need for a Savior. Do you understand that? But here, Jesus Christ says, they are without excuse. They are without excuse. Because they rejected Jesus Christ. Despite the works, despite God raising him from all the things that happened, they have rejected Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Because they know not him that sent him. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 13. We are no longer the property of Satan. We belong to who? We belong to God. We have a new nature because we've called on the name of Jesus Christ. We've believed on him. In Matthew chapter 13, if I get there, here we go. This is, we're not going to read the whole parable. I think most of you are familiar with it. But this is the parable of the sower and the seed. But I wanted to read in verse 22. And the seed, we learn later on, is God's word. That's what's being sown. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. He hears the word. And the care or the distractions of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they crowd out or they choke the what? The word. And it becomes unfruitful. The world, it's design, its arrangement is to make it difficult for the believer to mature and to grow. And it does it by making the things of God look foolish. It does it by, you know, presenting a lot of things in the senses realm that make believing difficult or can make believing difficult. It's what it does. It offers nothing in the way of light. It offers nothing in the way of help for a believer to learn how to walk by that Spirit. Nothing. Nothing. Okay. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15, it says, love not the world. Love not the world. This word love, it's the word agape. And it's, of course, used of loving God, but it's something upon which you place great value. Really precious. Do you understand? You place great value on it. Love not what? The world. Or the things in it. We don't put our eggs in that basket. We don't. That's not what we consider to be of great value. Do you understand? Hence loving it. Serving it. We love not the world or the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of what? The Father's not in him. He doesn't get it. Because the world... Okay. I'm sorry. There we go. the world is anathema to God. It's darkness. See? It hates the things of God. So if I'm putting all my value, all my eggs in the things of the world, yes. Do you understand? For the love of the Father, I don't get it. I'm not understanding. See? But that's what the world will do. It'll suck you in. It'll just suck you in. You know? That's its design. 16. For all that is in the world, the lust or the cravings of the flesh. Everything in the world is about the cravings of the flesh. And the craving of the eyes. I gotta have that. You know? The cravings of the flesh, the craving of the eyes. You know, standards, just a simple thing. Standard of success. What's the world's standard of success? We, you and I are holy. We're set apart by God Almighty. We've got eternal life. But someone in the world's gonna come up and say, so what do you do for a living? And they're going to judge me by what I do for a living. Do you understand? Or by where? And see, and that stuff, it chips. It chips. The standards of the world have nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with God. You know, for our weekend, we're going to be looking at Hebrews 11. And we're going to be looking at some of those records. But there's, you know, it talks about some of these people, you know, they were tortured. They were scourged. And what they went through. And God says though they weren't even worthy. The world wasn't even worthy to have these people. Isn't that something? And the day will come when they're going to get up. See? Isn't that something from God's viewpoint? The world wasn't even worthy of them. But the world looked at them and considered them as nothing. See? And many times it'll do that with the believer. You're foolish, you're weak, you know, all these kinds of things. Faith is a crutch, you know, all the stupid things they come up with. Anyway, verse 17, this is great. The world passes away, and the cravings thereof. But he that does the will of God, what? It abides forever. It's real simple. The world passes away. I want you to turn to 1 Peter 4. We're going to read a verse, and then we're going to go to the Gospel of, back to the Gospel of John. 1 Peter 4:17 this during family camp. In verse 3, it's kind of a neat context of this, but verse 3, for the time past, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, in verse 3. What that means is, it was long enough. However long you lived according to the world, it was long enough. It suffices. It's good. It's good. 20 years, that's enough. 10 years, that's enough. It doesn't matter. It's enough. you understand? It suffices. It's enough. To have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts or cravings, excesses of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Speaking evil of you. Isn't that funny? That's what the world does. They think it's strange that you don't run with them. They think it's strange that you don't think like they do. You know, the things that they think are important, they think you're the weird one. That's right. That's the world. That's how it's set up. That's how it's arranged. See? Now, I want you to turn to John, the Gospel of John 3. It's kind of neat. There have been, you know, through the years,
there have been groups, Christian groups, I guess, where, their solution or their answer was to isolate themselves in some way, to retreat, from the world. But here in John chapter 3, verse 16, y'all know this verse. It says, for God so what?
Loved.
For God so loved the world. Now, that he gave his only begotten son. Now, did Jesus Christ die for how the world thinks? Did it die for how the world's arranged and set up? Did it? No. Did he? No. He died for who? The people in it. See? For God so loved the people in the world. See? Isn't that neat? You don't love the world. Matter of fact, he sent a son to save this stinking place. See? And there are the people in it. He loved the world, so he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to turn to John 17. This is a neat section too. John 17. This is Jesus Christ's recorded prayer on that same night that we read that section from John 15. Well, this is a little closer to the end of that night. Okay? And God recorded his prayer here. So it's really something. But I want to begin in verse 11. It says, and now, this is Jesus Christ, and now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now, come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Or keep them from the evil one. Isn't that something? That God would protect. That God would guard. It talks about that in 2 Peter. That we're preserved. God preserves. Isn't that something? We're set apart. We'll read that in a minute. But that's his prayer here. That God would keep those. Guard them. Protect them. That are in the world. Keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Separate them or sanctify them through thy truth, which is to separate. Thy word is what?
Truth.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall what? Believe on me through their word. Isn't that something? So we got prayed for here. But he sent them into the world. He sent them into the world. Isn't that something? Now we just read some things about this world and that we're not to love this world. But Jesus Christ sent them into the world. See? God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. That whosoever believes on him is what? Is saved. See? While the world offers nothing in terms of light, in terms of wisdom, in terms of strength, in terms of things that we need to believe God, to grow in who and what we are in Christ, it offers nothing. But we're not afraid of the world. Because our Lord overcame the world. Right? And what we do is we speak God's word in the world. We make known Jesus Christ. Now, is everybody going to believe? Oh, no. Absolutely not. So what? So what? That's not my responsibility, nor is it yours. See? But we have something. We have something really that the people in the world crave. Now, sometimes they get that craving beat out of them. Sometimes life just works its way, its thing in such a way where people become hard, where their hearts become hard. They give up. But there's a lot of people that are craving what we have to offer. They crave peace. They crave soundness of mind. Just something to stand on that is sure. Nothing is sure in this world. Right? Nothing is. Your job, it's not sure. Your investments, they're not sure. Right? None of that stuff. Somebody could rear-end you while you're parked out there. No more car. Nothing sure. God's word is sure, though. See? Isn't that something? God's word is sure. No matter what happens, God's word is sure. That's what we have, and that's what we can offer. That's what we offer the world. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, and then we're going to go to Colossians. And these are really simple truths, but they're wonderful. Things that we think about, things that we need to be aware of. Mark 16. this is great. This is in his resurrected body. And this is one of the last things Jesus Christ said to his men. Verse 15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature." Preach the gospel to every creature, see? And that gospel is Jesus Christ. That gospel is that good news regarding Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brought. In Colossians, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. And we're almost done. In verse 12, it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or adequate to be partaker, acceptable, I guess, maybe not so much, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, a part in that share of the inheritance of the saints." We're saints. We're holy ones. We were made holy by God because we believed on Jesus Christ. Then it says, "Who," referring to the Father, "has delivered us," he's rescued us, that we're delivered, "from the power," and that's that exercise, it's the word exousia, "that exercised power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of" what? "His dear Son." And this word translated is a word that means given citizenship. We've been made citizens of his kingdom. We're not even citizens of the world anymore. We just live here. But this world's not our home. It's not our home. You know, and we've had some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful believers come before us that lived this way. Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. Lived in tents. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was who? God. See, that's how he lived his life. Isn't that something? See, this world's not our home. We're citizens of heaven. Now, the day will come when we will physically enter that kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, which it talks about in 2 Peter. But for now, we've been made citizens. We belong to God. And as citizens of heaven, we have rights. We have rights as citizens. We can request, make requests of our Father as citizens, because we are not of the world. We're no longer the property of Satan. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
That's why we're not afraid of the world. We belong to God. We got the biggest daddy on the block. Let's go to Philippians. And that's the truth. The world will try and talk you out of it, but it's still the truth. And if I stop believing this tonight, smack me. It's still the truth. Where am I? Let's start in verse 13. Oh, chapter 2. Let's start in verse 12. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, it says, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, referring to obeying God, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation or deliverance with fear and trembling. That's that idiom, and it means reverence and obedience. When you look at it through the word, it's really beautiful. It's reverence and obedience. Work out your deliverance with reverence and obedience. Four. Here's why. It is God that what?
Works
in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, because he works in you both to will and to do all things without murmurings and disputings. Don't complain.
God told me to do this.
Sounds silly. That you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, it should read, without rebuke or without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or age, among whom you, what? Shine as lights in the world. And then the next phrase in the next verse reads, holding the word of life. King James translated this holding forth. It should be holding the word of life. We shine as lights in the world, what? Holding the word of life. Isn't that something? We bring light to a dark world. You know, it says in the word, Jesus Christ, I think it was Naphtali, I should have wrote this down, I don't remember the reference now, but it was one of the tribes of Israel. They were actually the first ones taken when Israel was led captive. And they're the first ones mentioned when Jesus Christ shows up on the scene. And it says, great light sprung up. Isn't that something? Them that sat in darkness, great light has sprung up. That's Jesus Christ. See? And that's what we bring. That's what we bring. When we're men, when we're walking the word, when we're claiming who we are in Christ, when we have that joy of our hope, the joy of what God's made us, it's like great light has sprung up. You know, sometimes people won't know what it is. You know, but they kind of dig it. Every once in a while, you meet somebody that doesn't. That's okay. It's okay. But we can be that light. Isn't that something? You know, them that sat in darkness, great light has sprung up. And that was Jesus Christ. See? And the world is in darkness. And you know, it's a figure. I mean, there are light bulbs in the world. But they sit in darkness because they don't know. They can't see. They can't see beyond what the world has told them.
what the world lays in front of them. You know, whatever new thing. That's what they know. That's darkness. That's darkness. Light is knowing of the deliverance that God wrought in Jesus Christ and what's available to the saint when he's born again of God's Spirit. And that's what we can bring. Isn't that cool? So, we're not afraid of the world. You know? We don't let it run us. We don't get sucked in. We don't love it. But we're not afraid of it. We speak God's word. So, amen?
Amen.
All right.